Let us bow together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious, eternal Father in heaven, we come into thy presence tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We pray that thou wilt speak to our hearts as we come into thy presence tonight. We pray that thou wilt, O God, open our hearts to thy word. And Lord, we pray that we might hear thy voice speaking to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We do welcome you tonight in the Lord's name. If you're visiting, we give you a very special welcome to our service tonight. We trust the Lord will bless our coming together in his name. There are baskets at the exits for your offerings. As you leave the building, do remember this is our building fund and all loose collections and building fund envelopes go for that purpose. Do please keep that in mind. On Tuesday night is our Bible study in the church hall and our prayer meeting, and we meet together around the Word of God for a Bible study and a survey of the New Testament. Continuing this week, we're in 1 John. That's at 8 o'clock on Tuesday evening. And then Friday night, there's a presbytery meeting. I understand it's still on Zoom for elders. Please, the link is the same as beforehand. And then next Lord's Day, the Sunday school is resumed again, our open Sunday school, and we commend that to you to encourage the children to come along, and the boys and girls and the families and others, of course, are welcome as well, each Lord's Day at 10 a.m. And then 11:30, our morning worship, we continue to look at 1 Corinthians 13 as we began to do that this morning, and we trust that you remember the doors are open from 11 a.m. And then the prayer meeting youth room upstairs, 6:20 to 6:45. Doors open approximately 6:15 on Sunday evenings. Gospel service at 7 p.m. And I'll be the preacher at both services myself next Lord's Day. Do remember the services and do come along and join with us as we meet under the sound of God's word. Restrictions are still in place. We understand those entering and exiting and while in the building. And keep those in mind. But we know that more and more people are being vaccinated, and therefore more and more people now are able to come out, and we trust that people will come out as they're able to do so. And we trust that you'll remember that. Next Lord's Day will be League of Church Loyalty prizes. Now, we normally distribute them, but because of the restrictions, they'll be left on the tables, and it'll be the same prize for each child, because we couldn't regulate them this year with all that's been going on. Every child will get the same prize, same rate of prize for the year past. That's 2020. We're now, it's hard to believe, almost halfway through 2021. So please remember that. That will be done as you leave out of the services. You'll be able to pick those up next Lord's Day for your children or grandchildren as you leave the services. I think those are all the announcements, just to remember those who are ill and pray that God's healing touch will be upon them. We're thankful for our sister Dorothy Garrett being home from hospital, and continue to pray for Dorothy. The Lord's healing touch will be upon her. Remember also our brother Jim McGahey, who's been very ill. Do remember Jim, and remember his wife in your prayers also at this time. And then also remember our sister Mary. She's come through a treatment that finished on Thursday there past. And we're thankful to the Lord for what he's done thus far, but continue to pray for the situation there in relation to Mary, that the Lord's healing touch will be upon her. For others too that need our prayers, and family members and so forth going through various trying times in these days. Do remember them at the throne of grace in prayer. Now we'll commence with the hymn. It's 227, but it's on the screen. You can look at the screen there and see the hymn. We keep our seats as we sing together. Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming, Jesus is passing this way. And then after we sing, being seated, we will stand for prayer.
Thank you. prayer, please.
Gracious, loving, blessed, eternal Father in heaven, we bow in thy holy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, claiming the merits of the precious blood, standing upon redemption ground, the ground of peace, seeking thy face for thy blessing upon us, praying for the gracious and powerful outpouring of the Spirit of God. We pray that thou wilt meet with us tonight, that thy presence will go with us, that we will know the fullness of thy power in this service this evening. Speak to every waiting heart. If there be someone here unsaved, we pray that tonight they will be saved. For those who may be backslidden, bring them back to their first love. We pray for the working of thy Spirit tonight in this service. We pray that, Lord, thou wilt take away from we the hearts of thy people any complacency or carelessness, any neglect of the means of grace that there may be amongst us. We pray, O God, that thou wilt stir our hearts again to be found in the house of God around thy precious word. We pray for those who are still unable to be present through health and situations that they find themselves in. We pray that thou wilt give them grace and help tonight. May they know the healing hand of the Lord upon them. Lord, there are those who particularly need our prayers with the gravity of their illness tonight, or illness to loved ones. We pray that thou wilt intervene in those cases, we pray, that thou wilt answer prayer. Where there is sorrow, O God, that thou wouldst bring comfort. Think of this family close by who had such immense sorrow even last weekend. We pray for comfort for that family, those left behind. And we pray in the midst of the darkness that thou wilt shine thy light, and that souls shall be drawn unto thyself. Father, we pray that you remember our land. We thank thee for 100 years of Northern Ireland. We thank thee for this centenary. We give thee thanks for all that you've been to this little land, through thick and thin, through many years of difficulty. Lord, we praise thee for the preaching of the Word of God through the decades of time. And Lord, we ask of thee that the Word of God will continue to be preached. Bless our own denomination and others who are faithful in preaching thy word. Move across our land, we pray, and grant that there may be times of blessing and visitation upon our land in these times. O God, hear us tonight. Bless thy servant who ministers in song. Bless us as we handle thy word. Hide us behind the cross. May none be seen save Jesus only, and he alone glorified. Lord, may righteousness prevail in our land again, and in our nation, and in the nations of the world. We pray in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. Our sister Natasha will come and bring her first message and song now, please. Thank you.
My soul reads.
Thank you, Natasha, for that ministry and song. May the Lord bless it to our hearts. Reading together from the Word of God in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John and the opening verse. The 16th chapter of the Gospel of John and the opening verse. Let us hear the Word of God tonight. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and show it unto you. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. The hymn number 232, you'll see it on the screen again. 232, O sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long as he called thee in vain, he called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. We'll keep our seats again, and after we sing this hymn, Natasha will come and sing her second piece to us. 232 on the screen, keeping our seats as we sing. Thank you. Stand for prayer. Thank Natasha for that ministry and song again from the Lord to our hearts tonight. Let us all engage in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank that Thou hast said in Thy word, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And in heeding Thy exhortation, we come to Thy house tonight, to worship Thee, to hear Thy voice and to hear Thy word. We pray that in the closing moments of this service, Thou wilt speak to every heart. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. I draw your attention tonight to the passage of Scripture we've read earlier in our service. The 16th chapter of the Gospel of John. And tonight we want to speak the first message in a series of messages on great words of the Gospel. The word that I want to come to tonight is the word conviction. The word conviction. And I want to speak this evening on this word because it is a very important word that relates to the salvation of the soul. That life-changing work that is wrought within a man or woman
or young person that results in their transformation to become new creatures in Christ Jesus. The work of divine grace in the heart of a man or woman or young person. You see, as our text, if you could see it behind the screen, it says, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is all of grace. The Bible says, by grace are ye saved through faith. Man cannot merit it, nor can he achieve it by any efforts that he would make to that end. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Many there are in this world tonight who are making strenuous efforts to obtain the favor of God. But all of these efforts are in vain. For God must do the work in the heart of man, the work of salvation. And we rejoice tonight. As Isaiah 59 and verse 1 declares, his arm is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. That he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. And you may have come to this service tonight determined in your own way to get to heaven. Or even tonight, totally opposed to Christianity. Living in rebellion against God and in rejection of the gospel of Christ. But the Lord can meet you tonight. And the Lord can save you tonight. You may have come here tonight or listening to this service with a great burden upon your heart. That burden of sin. But the Lord can lift that burden tonight. And he can save your precious soul from a lost and a Christless eternity. In this first message of this series, I want to come, as I said, to look at the word or the term conviction. It is one of the great words of the gospel. You see, the salvation of a soul is always preceded and accompanied by the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. No one is ever truly saved without experiencing that conviction of which the Lord speaks here in these verses in John chapter 16, verses 7 to 11. People often think they can be saved at will. That is, just when they decide they would like to be saved. People tell me all the time, "Oh, I'll get saved, Mr. Smiley, in my own time." But my friend, we have to realize that is the work of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit of God must work upon the heart of man and bring that individual, whoever they may be, to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many people in this world, I would suggest to you and put it to you tonight, who say they're saved, but they're not saved at all. I am not their judge, but God will be their judge, as He will be all our judges at the end time. The salvation of the soul, God must take the initiative. You remember in the Garden of Eden, God came to Adam, and God said to him, "Where art thou?" And God comes to you with that searching word tonight, even in this meeting, and says, "Where art thou?" How do you stand before God tonight? How is it with your soul? How is it between you and the Lord tonight? If God did not seek man, man would never seek God. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 3, that there is none that seeketh after God. Man of himself, in the inclination of his heart and in the bias of his will, is moving away from God. But my friend tonight, in this meeting, God would seek you out and draw you to Himself. How does the Father draw men and women to Christ? The answer is by the Holy Spirit. And the first great work that the Holy Spirit accomplishes is this work of conviction. This means, in simple terms, that He convinces us of our desperate need of a Savior. You see, the Spirit of God it is that strives with man. Now we recognize the Spirit of God does not always strive with man. In other words, His striving will not go on endlessly or forever. But He does strive with man. And the Bible tells us again in the book of Hebrews and the 3rd chapter that God speaks to man because it says, "Today, if ye hear His voice, harden not your heart." And God speaking to you tonight is speaking to you in this meeting by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God as it is proclaimed. His striving and His speaking are all with a view to this great work of conviction. And particularly in verses 9 to 11, I want to emphasize some things here in John chapter 16. Because He reproves the world of sin, as verse 8 says, and of righteousness and of judgment, verse 9, of sin because they believe not on Me, of righteousness because I go to My Father and ye see Me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. 3 simple things tonight. First of all, the way of conviction. And we see clearly in these verses that are before us that first of all, the Holy Spirit convicts the sinner of sin. Verse 9, not simply of sins, the fruit, but of sin which is the root. You see, the problem that the individual has is the problem of sin. And that's a problem that we all have by nature. Of course, there are many who will not admit that they are sinners. But the Bible says we are all under sin. The Bible tells us in Romans 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Spirit of God convicts of the paramount sin of unbelief. That sin of rejecting Christ. Look at verse 9 and what it says. Of sin because they believe not on Me. Now our consciences, if they are not seared, will convict us of sins, such as theft, such as of lying or jealousy, and many others. But it is only when the Holy Spirit of God opens our eyes that we see the enormity of our sin. Our sin of rejecting the Savior whom God has provided. And the greatest sin that anyone can commit. And the one by which we are condemned is the sin of rejecting Christ. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of John chapter 3 and verse 18 that he that believeth is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Listen to it. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3:36. And so it is the sin of unbelief. That is the sin of sins. That is the ultimate sin. That is the damning sin. It's like a man who has a deadly but curable disease. He goes to the doctor or the consultant or the person in the hospital who's dealing with him, surgeon who prescribes a remedy. But that man refuses to take it. He says, "I'm not taking the operation," or "I'm not taking the medicine," or "I'm not taking the cure." He dies of the disease, not because he had the disease, but because he spurned the remedy.
Now all of us have this fatal sin virus in our souls. Now we've heard a lot about virus in the past 13, 14 months. More than we'd ever want to hear again. But my friend, we have a deadly virus. More deadly than COVID-19. More deadly than any variant of it. It is that of sin in your heart tonight. And my friend, God has provided an infallible remedy in His Son, a remedy that He offers to you on the simple basis of belief. We quoted that wonderful verse this morning, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believing in Christ, that's the key. And those who will not believe on the Son of God will go to a lost eternity, not because they are sinners, but because they've refused God's remedy. The jurisdiction of sin is over when Jesus Christ comes in to one's heart. But its jurisdiction is eternally confirmed in the damned souls of those who have turned their backs upon God's Son. To reject Christ, my friend, deliberately or foolishly, to neglect Him is an insult to God that God will not forgive. Indeed, He cannot. And that is why Jesus here defines sin as not believing in Him. And oh, that conviction of sin might grip your heart tonight, that you might be saturated in conviction, that you might be steeped in it, that you might see yourself as lost, undone, unclean, unholy in the sight of God. The great reformer Martin Luther said, "I have no other name than sinner. Sinner is my name, and sinner is my surname. Sinner is my name, and sinner is my surname." And again Luther said, "The recognition of sin is the beginning of salvation." That's the starting point tonight. Conviction of sin. Conviction of sin. And secondly, the Holy Spirit convicts the sinner of righteousness. In verse 10 here of John 16, "Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more." He convicts of righteousness. A righteousness that is required. A righteousness which is provided by God and offered to man in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, that He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And this righteousness is receivable by faith. Apart from the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, man has no true conception of his own unrighteousness or of God's righteousness. The Bible tells us, "Hear of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more." The Lord Jesus Christ was the only righteous one ever to live in this world. His standard of behavior was to do the will of God. "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." John 8:29. He did always those things that pleased the Father. In fact, we read in Hebrews 10:7, "Then said He, I come to do the will of God. I come to do Thy will, O God." A will that He obeyed perfectly. He obeyed it every moment of every day of His life. Now it is possible for all people to be made righteous by accepting Him as Savior. And God sees all such persons as being in Him, the One who has made unto us righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. This is one of the major themes of the book of Romans, where the key word is righteous. Thank God you can be righteous in the sight of God if you will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But the work of Christ continues on behalf of His own. We have an advocate with the Father, the Bible tells us in 1 John 2 verse 1, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is there to minister on behalf of His blood-bought people until at last He brings us all safely home. He's our advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so, He convicts of sin and of righteousness. But then thirdly, the Holy Spirit convicts of judgment. Look at verse 8. Again, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Verse 11, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit convinces man that Satan and all who belong to him are already doomed. Note the emphasis in verse 11. The prince of this world is judged. Hebrews 2:14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, the devil. Satan, the lord of all who live in their sins, has already been judged and sentenced. John chapter 12, verse 31 says this, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of the world be cast out. The Lord Jesus Christ has now triumphed over him. In all of His principalities and powers, Colossians 2:15, you see, the cross is Satan's doom. As that old serpent fastened his evil fangs on the Savior's heel at Calvary, he felt that foot begin to crush his head. You remember that great promise there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15? Thou shalt bruise his head, but he shall bruise thy heel. The Lord Jesus Christ crushed the head of the serpent on Calvary's cross. And Satan's ultimate doom is to be cast into the lake of fire, as is seen in Revelation chapter 20. And all sinners are judged along with him and will share his terrible abode, according to Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. What a dreadful end for all who obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be confined forever with Satan in an eternal hell, in that lake of fire. What great need there is today for this threefold convicting work of the Holy Spirit. There is no substitute, my friends, for conviction of sin. Organization, the personality of the preacher, etc., all will fail. Only the Holy Spirit can convince men and women and young people of their desperate need of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in the first instance here, there is the way of conviction. And then I want you to come to the second thing tonight. It is the work of conviction. How does the Holy Spirit bring about conviction? He brings about conviction, first of all, by the preaching of the Word. The Word of God, the Gospel, is the sword of the Spirit. It is that powerful instrument which God uses. The Bible says the Word of God is quick. That means it's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. It causes that effect of the salvation of all that believe. We shall only see conviction resulting from our preaching if we are faithfully preaching the gospel. And where is that gospel found? It's found in the Word of God. You have it defined there in the first verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is all the counsel of God, and the preacher, if he would be faithful, he must preach all the counsel of God. When Peter preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost, in that great sermon in Acts chapter 2, his hearers were convicted of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Bible tells us there in Acts 2:37,
Now when they heard this, when they heard the Word of God, that is, when they heard the preaching of the Gospel, when they heard the whole counsel of God, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were convicted. That's what it means. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Conviction through the Word of God. Is God convicting you tonight? Through the Word of God? Maybe through something you learned at Sunday school at your mother's knee? Maybe something you've heard in recent times? Maybe something even you're hearing tonight? As the Word is read and preached. The work of conviction through the Word. Then the work of conviction is also done through the witnessing of Christians. He not only does it by the public preaching, but also by personal witnessing. As was the case there in Acts 8, where Philip preached Christ to the Ethiopian eunuch. Or when Paul reasoned with Felix, and Felix trembled, as he heard Paul reason with him in Acts 24. When Paul testified before Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. The Bible tells us that he was almost persuaded to be a Christian. Work of conviction. Maybe somebody in your family or somebody in your workplace or somebody near to you or somebody you've met in the course of your life has witnessed to you of Christ. And there's a work of conviction in your heart tonight as you remember those words of witness. But then there's a work of conviction by special providences and interventions. You see, Saul was brought under conviction by a sudden revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. The people of Joppa were brought under conviction by the death and miraculous resurrection of Dorcas in Acts 9, 36 to 42. Notice there in verse 42 of that chapter, it was known throughout all Joppa and many believed in the Lord. You think of the jailer, he was brought under conviction not only by the testimony of Paul and Silas in Acts 16, but by the earthquake which God sent. You see, God works His providences. And perhaps there are things that have happened in your life, or things that you have witnessed in the course of your life. Some tragedy or some other thing that has come about. In the course of your life, and God has spoken to you. And then conviction comes in answer to the prayers of God's people. And here is scope not only for the preacher, but for the Christians who are present in the service to pray with the preacher for the convicting work of the Holy Spirit to accompany the message as it goes forth. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. The work of conviction. And there are people who are praying for you even in this service tonight. There are people who are praying for you in other places tonight. Praying that you might receive. Praying that God might work in your heart. Oh, may the Spirit of God deal with you tonight. The work of conviction is done also through cleansed and yielded Spirit-filled lives. Remember Stephen there in Acts chapter 7 verses 54 to 60. He was stoned to death for his faith. He was martyred for the cause of the Gospel. And Saul heard his testimony. And he saw the Christ-like spirit of Stephen. Was it not that? That was the first moving of conviction in the heart of Saul of Tarsus. And God worked in his heart. And then, on the Damascus road, he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is God speaking to you tonight? Maybe He's spoken many times in the past. Is it not time you responded tonight? Is it not time you came to Christ? Is it not time you trusted in the Savior? The Bible says it is time to trust. It is time to seek the Lord. But there's one final thing. It's the wonderful wonders that come about through conviction. I've been reading during a time there when I was off. I was reading again Robert Murray McShane, one of the life stories of a successor actually of Robert Murray McShane and McShane's church in Dundee. And he recounted the story of of the life and the witness of Robert Murray McShane and the great ministry he had there in St. Peter's Dundee. There's one thing that stood out, my friend, in the ministry of McShane and the ministry of Burns too, when McShane was in Israel, because at that time God sent revival to that parish. Not when McShane was there, but when McShane was away. Because the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And my friend, there are a lot of meetings today and there are people going here, there and everywhere and getting this feeling and making this decision and all the rest of it. I'm not their judge, but my friend, I want to tell you this. We need to see the work of the Holy Spirit in lives, because it is the work of the Holy Spirit that causes the transformation. And that wonderful work of grace done in lives. Recently, just I was speaking to a chap who came across my path and he was relating to me how he got saved. And he said, you know, my school pals couldn't believe that I'd got saved. He said, I was a rascal. I was a wild, wild man. But he said, I got saved. And he said, they're still marveling at what God has done in my life. Completely transformed from what he was. His life was changed. Now here in the New Testament we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's look at these verses of Scripture. Because there are people who say, well, so and so can't be saved and that person couldn't be saved. And even Christians say that. Well, I suggest to you it's very wrong for us to say that. We don't know who can be saved and who not be saved. There are people we know who will be lost, sadly, and have been lost, sadly, but the Bible says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11, know ye not that the unrighteous shall inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. There's a whole list of sins here, friend. But then Paul says this, and I want you to get this tonight. Verse 11, and such were some of you, he says, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Who are we to say that Joe Bloggs can't be saved, or that other person, that lady, or that young person that has committed some of these sins or other sins? Paul says, such were some of you. But you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord by the Spirit of God. Here's God's marvelous grace brought about through conviction and conversion to Christ. This is no conversion therapy, friend. Instigated by man or some program put together by man. It is conversion to Christ. Brought about through the Holy Spirit. It is conviction of sin. It is a life-changing work in the heart of man. The world may despise it and sneer at it and ridicule and revile it, but they cannot stop it happening. And thank God it's still happening across this world tonight. The roughest of people, the deepest dyed of sinners, can be completely changed by the work of divine grace. I was recently talking to one of our ministers. He said to me about, you know this man. He named him by his name. I said, I know him well. He was a wild man. I'm not going to go into the things that I knew he was involved in. But I know tonight, he's sitting in one of our churches. He's transformed by the grace of God. He hasn't missed a meeting since they're back in church again, since July. I know we were out of church, but all the meetings that were held in church, he hasn't missed a meeting or a prayer meeting in all that period of time, apart from the times when we weren't able to be there, but every time we're able, he's been there. Transformed. This is the grace of God, friend. And it can happen to you tonight.
Unsaved soul, Christ rejecter, maybe for weeks and for months, even for years, you've been trying to get away from the inner conviction that you feel. But you can't get away from it. You've tried everything to drive it away, but it doesn't go away. Why? Because it's conviction of sin. A minister on one occasion was speaking to me about this man who arrived at his door. The minister knew him because he had been at times attending the meetings of the church. And he said, "You know, I can't sleep." He said, "You know, I can't rest." He said, "I went to the doctor, thought there was something wrong with me." The doctor says, "I give you a clean bill of health, nothing wrong with you." But now he says, "I know what's wrong with me." He said, "I don't need a doctor. I need Jesus. I need Christ." And the minister knelt with him and pointed him to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the convicting power of the Spirit of God. And you can perceive where you are just now, just as you are, just where you are. That where sin abounded in your life or abounds in your life, grace can much more abound. Truly this word, conviction, is a great word of the gospel. It leads to conversion, to God's wonderful salvation. And may this salvation be yours tonight. Even now, as you listen to God's precious word tonight. That you might come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that you might be saved tonight. That you might know Jesus Christ. When He has come, the Spirit, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. May God tonight save your soul, even in this meeting, for the glory of His name. Let us pray. Father, indelibly write upon every heart the truth of Thy precious word and bring some soul or souls to Christ tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn tonight will be on the screen. The gospel bells are ringing over land from sea to sea. Blessed news of free salvation that they offer you and me. And we trust that you will sing these words and you will come to Christ and know this everlasting life that this hymn speaks about. We'll keep our seats as we sing and then we'll stand for the closing prayer.
God has spoken to you tonight, we're here to help you, to open God's Word and show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Thank you for coming tonight. May the Lord bless you, one and all, who have come to hear God's Word tonight. Father in heaven, apply thy word with convicting power to every heart. Bring souls to know thee tonight, we pray, with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.